You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
I want to play at some point today Mario Cristobal's post-game comments about his message to recruits. Did you hear that, Crowder?
I saw the
sweat. Do we have that, Dan, back in the studio? Play that. It's only like 10 seconds or something like that. This is Mario Cristobal after the game. They beat FSU. Wasn't, you know, dominating, but it was a win. And then Mario Cristobal closed his press conference with this.
All recruits in-state, out-of-state, can now clearly see the trajectory of this program versus the trajectory of the other programs.
Bang that
and
fist.
He slapped his head.
Yeah. I love that.
We had a window. Spurrier felt that way. Urban felt that way. And our window is closed now. Y'all are open. I respect it.
I love it. Yeah.
I respect it. What did who was it? Schnellenberger used to call it the state of South Florida, yep. Whatever it was. Yeah. No, you're right. It's on top. I'm truthful about this now. Billy Napier, tighten up.
I mean, it's a nice feeling to be sitting number 5 in the nation. You know, you got some chances to stumble along the way here, but you also have some chances to close out the season. You know, can you get past Duke this Saturday? Syracuse will end the season. They look terrible, but also they're not terrible. Very interesting for Hurricanes fans, yes. Right now, because, you know, you wanted, I think a lot of Hurricanes fans wanted a massive beatdown of Florida State. You didn't get that.
No.
You handled them, and it was fine. You covered. It wasn't a massive beatdown. And so you still have questions about the defense, and you still have questions about it all just coming together and coalescing perfectly for a game against a good team. But I will, again, submit to the jury that when you're playing an FSU, we talked about it during the season, yeah, you're a 21-point favorite over them, but also, this is their Super Bowl. They're giving you absolutely everything they can give you. So, happy to get out of there with the dub, and happy to be 5 in the nation, happy to be undefeated. You're going to get no complaints out of me.
And talking about those top teams, and I brought up the Urban window, so, you know, 06-08 championship, where we had to block field goals at the end of the game to beat Ole Miss. We had to score 21 in the fourth quarter to beat Mississippi State, and they were both unranked through one of those undefeated championship seasons. So I think when I'm not taking a shot, when people aren't used to being in the top 5, they don't know how to be in the top 5. You're Oregon and Georgia and Tennessee, they're not just whooping everybody's tail. They're playing in good games. So you're playing in good games with unranked teams. That's what happens. There's mismatches. Guys match up better against this guy, and you'll have close games. But what they did against, was it VTech, Cal, and in the next game.
Found a way to win.
Found Louisville. Found a way to win. That's what you want. You want them to find. If they just blow out Western Kentucky's for 9 weeks, you really don't know what you have. You know now Cam Ward is damn Heisman Trophy candidate. Probably should win it if that damn – I saw the boy from Boise State run the other day.
I told you he's good, man.
Yeah, Solana, you told me. He's scooting. but yes.
Solana also told us about Julian Hill. Oh, and I don't even want to get started on that. I'd rather put that D-Wade statue – as the tight end, because he's going to catch as many balls, but he's not going to get called for a penalty. He's not going to get called for a penalty.
At least it makes the DN take a wider angle.
Bro, Hawk, the Canes, in my opinion, that was their most impressive victory of the season. Here's why. Because FSU, first of all, one touchdown came in garbage time. The game was done by then. They just drove down the field, got some nice 7 more points. The other touchdown came on the most bizarre QB sneak I've ever seen in my goddamn life.
I think the Canes stopped playing defense on that because they thought it was stuffed.
But no, it was just like, all right, he's going to QB sneak. He'll get 2 yards. He'll go down like every other QB sneak. And all of a sudden, like, the offensive line's keeping him up, and everybody stopped,
he's like,
and he's run for 40 yards.
That was the weirdest thing.
Without that play, they don't score the first touchdown. And then at the end, they get the garbage time touchdown. UM won that game. FSU trying not to get blown out, which to me is the utmost respect of, we knew we were going to get destroyed. Let's just keep it respectable. I thought UM dominated them the entire game.
When guys get excited about that fourth quarter touchdown, you know they knew they were going to get their butts whooped. Slap hands. bro, the game's over. Why are you so happy? Yeah. But UM, they going to have the ups and downs. Like you're saying, the secondary, I've been asking about it for a while. The secondary is the question of me with the Canes. But you're going to see. You got to see Clemson. They got ACC championship and all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll see about the Canes. But you're number five. Yeah, I can't stand when people
undefeated.
Do that.
Undefeated.
You're undefeated.
Five and undefeated.
Oh, man, we should have won by 30. Oh, you're undefeated, huh? Ask a Gator fan how they feel right now. You're mad that you're undefeated number five in the nation.
Was it highest ranking since 2017? Did I read that somewhere?
Yeah, since they beat Notre Dame. Remember, they were undefeated then, too. Got into
they
the final game
two.
Of the season.
Remember, they were number two after that Notre Dame game.
Two or three.
Going into Notre Dame.
I think they were three after that Notre Dame game. But they were undefeated that entire season with Malik Rozier, and they lost to Pitt the final game of the season, and they got crushed in the conference title game.
And you've got four opportunities to have that game still coming up. This Duke game at noon, telling you, because there's going to be no crowd. I mean, that's the noon game. That's Duke and a noon game. So now you go from this frenzy at Hard Rock to, like, you know, this blazing sun noon Saturday against a team you should beat. I think they're 20.5-point favorites again. Keep your head on a swivel.
If Cristobal can't beat Manny Diaz, I'm sorry. You don't deserve to go to a conference title.
I was just looking it up. I was like, is it Manny Diaz?
This is his Super Bowl,
this
too.
This is his Super Bowl.
It was FSU's Super Bowl Saturday night. This is Manny's Super Bowl, without question.
He's going to pull out. This is all the stuff.
Yes.
This is all the goofy stuff, all the flea flickers.
Totally agree.
Yep, he wants to prove something.
I wrote it down, by the way. Duke lost to SMU 28-27 in overtime. Credit Manny Diaz, because they got into OT, and he went for two to get the win after SMU scored a touchdown. But don't credit Manny Diaz, because they forced six turnovers and still lost the damn game. I mean, that's embarrassing.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.